call the order.
To order. Our roll call. The Hill. Celia Lopez.
Julie Rust.
Scott Aylett.
7 p.m.
Nice. And the agenda, anyone have public comment? Seeing none, we'll move on. Minutes from the October meeting. Sorry, I should have had those pulled up really fast.
I did my best.
No, you're fine. Let's see, we talked a lot about different updates, library reorganization, our training day, video game collection, changes to the hours, had a discussion at the end of the meeting, a lot of great ideas on different things we could do. We've already had Becky follow up with us about working with school libraries.
Hey. Hi. I am here for the Planning Commission workshop. They said Explorer Room.
You know what time they're starting?
5 p.m. Huh. Oh my gosh, it's tomorrow night.
Oh. Bummer. Sorry about that.
Go okay. Check out a book.
Might be the 500. We have Becky follow up with us, getting us connected with the school librarians, and my staff are already starting to.
I added the one Mapleton.
Great.
Do you want any more Mapleton? Because that is true. It does cross over.
Did your list include like junior high, middle school, or was it all elementary? If it's just elementary, then I would only include Maple Ridge because that's the only one that serves kind of Spanish Fork.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Great. Do you want me to add junior high and the other?
I think Haley's school? Pretty connected with.
Okay, she probably is.
With them already, but if you have contact information,
I have for the middle school.
If you have middle school, I'll if you'll throw those on there, that'd okay. be great. We talked about homebound services that we provide and just some different ideas on things that we can improve in our various services and whatnot. So that is a brief recap on October's meeting. So, would entertain a motion to approve the October minutes. First by Zelia, second by Julie. All in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Great. Okay. Let's see. Upcoming events for December. Let's go in here. Our Best Books event is on Thursday, December 21st.
I looked at that today. The wrong date is on the website.
Oh, really?
Okay. What was earlier today?
Is it the 12th or the 21st?
I'll double check. Maybe I typed that wrong.
I'm going to look at that.
The 21st is on a Thursday.
It says Thursday, December 14th.
We don't know what's happening.
I may have just typed it wrong. Let's look at events.
I went in so excited. And so should it be the 12th?
Best book says the 12th. Let's look at Thursday, December 14th. Yeah, the 14th is not a Thursday. Okay, we will get that fixed. That's a Saturday. So it's the 12th. So that event, we try and highlight published books within the last year that staff really like, allow patrons to kind of vote for their favorite books for the year. We do it for all ages.
And you guys making it an event?
It's like it's a program. We have like book talks and different activities to spotlight.
Do you put them on the website after? Like what books won or whatever? Or what books are on there?
We should. I think that's a great idea.
Or make a little, you know, you have those little brochures around
the
library.
Yeah, the brochures are the best.
I love those. So it'd be fun to have one from this event.
Right, or a display, right, of here are the best books for last year.
Great ideas.
We're doing something new this year. I don't know a lot of the details, but we're doing a Christmas around the world on Wednesday, the 11th at 4 o'clock and having people come in and share what Christmas is like at different countries and cultures and that type of thing. Most of our regular programs end on Friday the 13th. So after that, we have just a couple specialty programs throughout the month, but give time for our staff to prep for January. And typically, we see patronage kind of decrease around the holidays, so we kind of stop doing programs mid-month. We do have our family art night, which is really popular. I'm not sure what the art project is this month, but you can register online. I think October was pumpkins last month. I don't remember what we did, but a great family activity. And then New Year's Eve, we do this every year on New Year's Eve. We drop the ball for the kids at noon and have balloons and dancing and treats and all that kind of fun stuff. So some fun activities coming up for this month. Review of material reconsideration requests. We haven't had any in the last month, so no thing to talk about there. Then our road to 500,000 checkouts. Right now we are at, I think, trying to remember how many. I think we need 33,000 more checkouts by the end of the year. Let's see. I can pull up our live count. Say yes.
Amazing.
So I pulled this about 45 minutes ago. So we've checked out 466,888 items so far. So I think we'll be cutting it close. So encourage your friends and your family.
Is this come, posted on the library website?
Yeah, so it's on our website. We've got it on, occasionally we'll post it on social media. We have it on our displays throughout the library, so I try and update it a couple times a day.
Does Libby work too, or is it just here?
Oh, it's just physical
it's
books.
Only it's physical
the, it's
items.
The physical books, okay.
Yeah, because
oh,
Libby,
oh, okay.
I think Libby, we've done about 150,000 checkouts so far this year, and so we've already surpassed 500,000.
Yeah. We do that.
But this is trying to get to 500,000
just
physical items. A typical December will do like 30,000 checkouts in a December. Okay. So this means like having an above average December. So, and if we don't make it, I was telling my staff, if we don't make it, then next year we have a goal. Our goal will be 500,000 next year, and we'll work towards it all year long.
Can I come every other day?
Yeah, right.
Just check out, your max, I think, is
50.
Is that our account?
Your 50 is your max.
So go get 50. Return on tomorrow.
Includes any physical items.
Games.
Okay. Games, video games, board games, books, magazines. Any physical item. Physical audiobooks.
Okay.
And renewals count as well. So if your item renews, that counts as a circulation.
Okay.
Mine is overdue. I'm trying to get through a book and it's overdue, but
someone have it on hold?
Yeah, unfortunately. And it's 500 pages and I'm like, I'm so close, but oh well, 10 cents a day, it's worth it.
Oh, this one, it's worth at this point you have to.
Get it done.
Yes.
Okay. Where's my mouse? Board reappointments. So Angie and Ben both have finished their first 3-year term as board members and have agreed to do a second 3-year term.
Nice.
So they'll be reappointed by the mayor and the council starting in January. I think our next opening on the board won't be until January 2026 or 7.
Who's
It's me.
So
it's
you. You, right? And I think you just started your second one last year, so you've got,
so
what,
got
two more years.
Okay. Yeah. Left.
So you'll all be together for
good.
A while.
2 more years.
I like that.
And I'm like so sad. I'm like, can we have 3 terms? It'll be a lifetime job. No one else needs a term.
I know.
Can we like get off for a few years and come back?
Get off and come back.
I'm trying to think what the code says. I think the code says can serve 2 consecutive 3-year terms.
It doesn't say anything about like getting reappointed.
Right. We're all gonna like send this
pack. For reals. We're gonna be like, I wanna come back. No, that's funny because I was thinking, I'm like, this is, I love doing this.
I do too.
Fun.
It's been so great.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you guys like it.
We do.
So.
I'm just gonna put that on here.
None of us ever want to leave.
Oh man. Some upcoming closures that we have. Christmas will close on the 23rd at 6 p.m. and then we're closed on the 24th and 25th. New Year's Eve we close at 6 p.m. on New Year's Eve and then we're closed on the 1st and then we're closed on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which is the 20th of January.
How did your staff work day go in November? You have
really
a
well.
Close the day to clean house?
Veterans
yep.
Day, right?
Went through and reorganized a lot of our storage spaces. I do the same thing at my house, right? I feel like, I don't have space for anything, right? And then you go through and you reorganize and clean stuff out. Oh, we've got a ton of space,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think it was good for our staff to have time to work through those things. Our biographies, we've been relabeling some of those in the adult biography section. Just they were separated based off of Dewey number and it was kind of confusing for patrons, so we've been relabeling those and that was helpful. Trying to think what else we did that day. There was we added the four new picture book categories downstairs.
Oh, in the bins?
Yeah, weather, there's three other ones, wild animals, and two other categories. So we had our staff relabeling and shifting shelves and that type of thing. So
that's great.
I don't know that we necessarily need to be closed to do, like, having now done it for a day, I think next year we could probably still do a lot of that while we're open. Mm-hmm. So just have more staff come in. So I can still man desks and that type of thing, but have a crew here that's working on projects behind the scenes because it's inconvenient for patrons for us to close for a day, especially in November when we're going to be closed for 3 days for Thanksgiving. Mm. We close for a day in October for staff training. Right. So it's a lot of closures back to back. So I don't know if we'll end up closing next year when we do our cleaning day. We'll see. But it went really well. Okay, display themes. You all had a chance to look at them. We got some good feedback. I love adding, Azealia suggested in April, it's Library Workers Appreciation Month. So adding books, having a display that's all about librarianship and what libraries do and that type of thing. So we can definitely add that. Did anyone else have any other comments or feedback?
It looks cool.
They thought they were really creative and fun.
Good. So clever.
Mm-hmm.
Stealing a few. Oh,
seriously,
I am.
It's fine.
I am.
You can do that.
It's the living room of the community. Everyone gets to come here and use what they want.
Just learn from each other, right? In fact, we have Saratoga Springs is coming down next Monday because they're getting ready to open their new building in about a year, and they want to genre-fy like what we've done. So they're coming down to figure out the whole process.
It's nice. I have to say, browsing is
it's
really...
It's so nice, because you're like,
it's really convenient.
Yeah.
One last
like
step
it.
For you guys. So it's all about sharing, right? We all work through issues and come up with solutions, and then we share it. So if you guys don't have any other changes or recommendations to that, then I'd entertain a motion to approve the 2025 display theme calendar. First by Melanie, a second by Zelia. All in favor?
Yes.
Any opposed? Nope. Okay.
Tell them we think they're very clever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
I thought they were really fun ideas.
Super creative.
Mm-hmm.
I am not creative or clever at all, and so I just count on my staff coming up with
got
fun,
very
creative things.
They did it. I was looking like, wow, what a fun, fun.
I'm like,
how fun.
Those meetings must be fun. Like, they're just...
And you should go look, if you haven't, go through the juniors or the chapter books downstairs. They've created these new things, they call them book talkers, and this was Karen that did all of this. It's awesome. So in October they had a bunch of displays that were like candy bar themed.
Huh.
So like trying to think of one. Like, this book will make you snicker, right? And it had a picture of a Snickers bar, right? And it was in the humor section, and they had all of these different candy-themed displays throughout the collection, right? And then they have other ones that were just based off of genre, right? So ones like with dragons and other things like that. But I think they have ones up now for Christmas. But it's just a great little way to help kids connect with different items that they otherwise maybe not recognize. So
she got the creativity.
They are so creative. They do a great job.
Awesome.
Okay. Last thing on the agenda is updating our background check policy. So the state legislature this last year passed a new bill, Utah Code 97218, which requires any public library, so it doesn't apply to school libraries, it's just public libraries that receive any state funding. We have to have a few new steps in our background check policy pertaining to staff members that work significantly with minors. So the state funding that we receive from the state is an annual grant. It's called the CLEF grant, and we typically get anywhere between $8,000 to $10,000 a year that we can use on programs, minor capital improvements, so like furniture and that type of thing. We can use it for patron-facing technology, so I can't buy a staff computer with it, but I can buy a patron public access computer, or I can buy Chromebooks for our coding class or those types of things. So it's a nice $9,000 every year that we can spend on a bunch of different projects. And so in order to be eligible for these funds moving forward, we have to make sure that we comply with our background check policy. And really when it comes down to it is that we are, before we give an offer of employment to an employee, a prospective employee, or a volunteer, we need to do their background check. And historically what our process has been is we'll interview candidates, we identify who we want, we give them an offer of employment, and then we do their background check. So now what we need to do is, before we give them the offer, say that we'd like to offer you a position, but before we offer you the position, we need you to come in and do a background check. Then if it comes back clear, then we can give them the offer. Part of this policy also requires that the library board identifies which positions would qualify for this. So it doesn't have to be every library employee. It only has to be those that work significantly with minors. Says, let's see, qualifying position means any paid or unpaid employment position with a public library, including a volunteer position that involves significant contact with minors, as determined by the public library's library board. So we'll talk a little bit about some of all of our positions, and get your feedback about which ones you feel like work significantly with minors. And elsewhere in the policy, it talks about how this policy right here needs to be adopted either by the library board in an open meeting or the county or city in which the public library is located. The city already has a background check policy, and so what we will do is just update the city's existing policy to include language that's specific to these library positions so that this isn't something that you have to approve outside of that. Our positions that we have at the library, and I've grouped them based off of what I would recommend, but those that have significant contact with minors, I believe, would be our librarians and our assistant librarians in the children's department, right? They oversee and supervise program development, program collection development, those things. They have their program coordinators, like your Karens, that are actually putting the program on and organizing it and that type of thing. And then we have certain volunteers that will come in and assist with programs occasionally. Those, I feel like, are the positions that we have that work or have significant contact with minors. All of our other positions are catalog librarian, right, that manages the catalog, the adult librarian, our circulation librarian that supervises the front desk. Our adult program coordinators, we don't have any, but we'd like to add some in the future. Our clerks, right, that man the front desk, pages that are shelving materials, and then every other volunteer that maybe is working in the back and not really having contact with patrons. So that was my initial thought, was obviously any of my staff that are doing children's programs or collection development, they're going to have significant contact with minors. But a page that's carting around a cart of books and shelving them, they may get asked by a child or a parent, right, about a book recommendation and that type of thing. I wouldn't characterize that as significant contact, but I'm curious if you guys have other thoughts.
So my question would be that those without significant contact with minors, do their assignments stay stagnant, or are they fluid, like they can still kind of have more contact with minors later? Because I'm thinking, once a person is hired, right, and they're in the library employment system, the expectations and duties, would they change with, you know what I mean? I'm just saying, like, right, somebody may not know, like, well, this clerk does not have a background check, and so now we're just kind of shift their duties a little bit. So now they're going to have a little bit more contact with children and minors. So the thing is that, I mean, kind of it's impossible to have a blanket background check on everybody.
Right.
But I'm always thinking about liability.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if monies, public monies are paid for library employees, and they're serving the public, there's always that chance, that possibility, right, they can have contact with minors or children.
Right.
So I'm just thinking the liability.
Right.
Would a parent come back and say, you have an employee that had this,
right,
and had the city done a background check, you would have known, but because, well, they were assigned to be a clerk, but then their job duties changed.
Right.
That's the thing, like, will job duties kind of change?
Right. But I think what's important to remember is we will still background check everyone.
Okay.
It's just I can't give an offer of employment to someone before I do their background check.
Yeah.
Or before you hire them and then you do background check.
But
you
everyone...
You take it away or you...
Exactly. So if say, I were hiring a clerk, I give them an offer of employment, and then I get their background check and something comes back, and then we just rescind the offer and say, you don't have an offer. Like, there was something that came up in your... And this hasn't happened at all in my 4 years. I've never had an employee, prospective employee, not pass the background check. We recently had a volunteer that had was volunteering, and we background check all of our volunteers as well. And there was something that came up that would have prohibited them working with minors. And so we've just said, this person can only work in the back. They're not working on the floor at all. None of that, right? And it was just a volunteer. But yeah, so we'll still do a background check on everyone. Yeah. It's just the semantics of when can we offer them the position versus, gotcha, when do we have to wait.
Yeah.
But yes, there is maybe some fluidity there, right? Where someone gets hired on originally to be a clerk, and then they get promoted to work on the floor and that type of thing. And but we would have run a background check anyway at that point. So are there any other positions that you guys think have significant contact with minors that we would want to look at? And again, remembering that we'll still background check everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
That covers them.
Cool. Great. Well, the city attorney is working through this right now. They're updating the actual language and the policy, and we'll get that updated shortly. But this was the big piece that I needed from you all, was helping to identify who we felt like were positions that had significant impact or contact with minors. And then as we add new positions in the future, I'll just have to have a reminder for myself that if we create a new position, to come to you guys and say, hey, is this a position that you feel like fits this criteria that needs to be background checked before we offer a job? So Cool. Thank you for your feedback on that. That is all. That's October. That's all I believe that I have for today. So does anyone have anything else before we adjourn?
So I was talking to some friends that are Spanish speakers, mm-hmm. and I asked them, like, do you have a library card? And they're just like, no. So one thing they said that would be helpful is if they know which staff speaks Spanish.
Okay. Mm.
And so sometimes they're hesitant to, like,
maybe a little, like, badge flag.
Like a badge.
Say, I speak Spanish, like, or I speak German, or whatever
okay.
they are.
Because I know even at work we have our little tags that
yeah.
mine
yeah,
says
Yo hablo
español. And so just so they know, they could go and approach somebody
okay.
and talk to them in Spanish and not feel shy, like they don't know if they know Spanish
yeah.
or not.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
We talked about what's allowed on badges.
Yeah.
One of our other meetings. We'll allow this.
We'll allow right. this, right.
Yeah.
No, but that's great.
No, I love that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have, I think, 2 or 3 Spanish speakers right now, and
yeah.
now we've started adding it for certain positions when we hire.
Uh-huh.
We add a qualification that Spanish speaking is preferred.
Yeah. But if they speak other languages, too, you never know.
Like, it'd be
I think it's
for
kind
any
of cool,
language,
like,
yeah.
if they speak
right.
any, like, Chinese or Cantonese
mm-hmm.
or...
It's interesting anyway. Just
it is interesting.
Be
yeah, because
fun.
I know a lot of people in this area. They
right.
serve other, like, missions and stuff. And sometimes it's kind of fun to find
mm-hmm.
out if somebody else speaks a language that you know.
Yeah.
So.
That's fun.
Yeah, that's fun.
I don't use my Italian very often, but...
You never know.
Probably helps with Spanish, though.
A little bit. I can understand.
The same.
I can understand more than I can speak.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
But that's a great idea. I'm sure we could find pretty inexpensive and quick solution so that our
mm-hmm.
Spanish-speaking and other language staff can be more readily identified.
Okay.
Did they say anything else that was
I
telling
think,
as to what a barrier would be?
I think I have to figure out how to encourage them to apply for a library card. I think what it is, they don't know that there's a whole section in Spanish.
Okay.
And then also too, if some are undocumented, you're not going to be asked for your status.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're just filling out an application.
Right.
Have an address, basically.
Yeah,
right?
just they
mail?
Just need to show
yep.
that they live in Spanish Fork. So, I mean, so I can still talk to them.
Right.
But one of them said, like, she's like, I want to ask questions, but I don't know who speaks Spanish.
Yeah.
So knowing who speaks Spanish
okay.
would be helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to have an address and just any type of photo ID.
Yeah.
Right? That's
okay.
So, and we're not checking to see who's documented and not and
yeah.
whatnot. So
okay.
we even just had a lady a few weeks ago that used a passport from El Salvador, I think was her
photo ID.
Her photo ID.
That's
it shows who you are, great.
Yeah.
A conversation on the Spanish Fork community page the other day about the library. Someone was asking if it costs money to get a library card, but I was just following along to see what the community
yeah.
said. But they were all like, no, go in and get one, it's free. Da,
yeah.
da, da, da.
I think
but
that's the key, is like saying it's free.
It's free.
It was interesting. I didn't know anyone thought.
You'd have
I mean,
to pay.
I grew up going to the library, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just been part of my life, the library. So it's like, I was like, oh my gosh, wow. Isn't part of people's lives, like, they think it costs money or there's all these, you know what I mean, like,
right?
Yeah, it
no,
must be a
documentation.
No, it is
like
yeah,
Salt Lake's having a big push. I don't know if you've heard it on the radio how they're like their library ad is popping up all the time.
Oh.
Like, go, it's free, everyone in Salt Lake County gets a free library card. So I think some people must think that they have to pay.
You have to pay to use the
or
library
something?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So yeah. I think, like, a bonus for the Latino community would be the games,
okay.
the video games,
because uh-huh.
Parents don't have money to buy
right.
all these video games,
yeah.
and kids love video games.
Mm-hmm.
I also think the DVDs, because a lot of the DVDs have
Spanish
language
yeah.
as well, and a lot of them probably don't have all the apps like Netflix and things. It's getting expensive for
mm-hmm.
them. But I think also the board games. And so, because they think of library, it's libreria,
books,
it's
yeah.
biblioteca, and they think it's just, it's books, that's
yeah.
it. So they're not thinking of the extra other things,
and the other
like
things
the music,
have, yeah, the programs,
even like
and
the cookbooks,
else.
Like
yeah.
things like that, like, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and
it's
if they get a library
books.
Card, they can request books.
Yes, yes.
which is right. So awesome.
Does
well, and
the, have a TikTok channel?
We don't have a TikTok channel. The state of Utah has been very
not,
TikTok
happy. So
and so at least at the city level we've been holding off to do anything with TikTok just because of kind of the stance that the state has taken on TikTok. So but even I guess helping educate that maybe it's not a physical book, but you get a library card and there's thousands of books available in Spanish on Libby, right? And so having access to those materials as well. So great. I would love, as we start getting into kind of our strategic plan season at the beginning of the year, looking at what can we do with that demographic, because we're missing them. And I know we are. We have a large, you know, Hispanic population here in Spanish Fork, right? And it continues to grow, and we're not tapping into it. And how do we get into that community?
Maybe like an open house, like Casa Abierta, you know, and then have your staff that are Spanish speakers.
Oh, yeah.
But kind of like just do like a whole everything in Spanish, like here are the Spanish books, and like showing how that's to do Libby. Maybe somebody helping them get the library card, and then download the Libby app, and then, you know,
really
like
cool.
actually showing all the technology. I'm sure the teenagers know how to do
right.
all that. But I think a lot of, there's a lot of Latinos that their literacy skills are not that great, but if they listen to an audiobook in Spanish, they would appreciate that, because sometimes their reading is not that great, even in Spanish.
Yeah. They speak better than they read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great.
The school I'm at is Spanish immersion.
Okay.
Like almost half the school's first language is Spanish. It's really fun. But they do something, and they used to do it every month. It was Spanish night. And it was for the parents to come in and sit down and learn about everything going on.
Oh.
And they're just recently restarting it. But I should ask more about what they're showing them there.
Right.
Because I in the new year, I'm going to go in and show them how to do the Sora online. You know, like
oh, cool.
We do. So, in Spanish. But they do something just for the Spanish families. And it's a big deal. And they send cool flyers home.
Nice.
I think they decorated last time. And
that's great.
Yeah. Because it's huge.
Right.
That's... huge population. So I think if we can do something like that, maybe we do it around, you know, Cinco de Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
Have
a
celebration and have them come and let's show you, let's teach you.
Right.
Let's,
have an open house.
Yeah.
Let's celebrate you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, we could even do it during the Hispanic Heritage Month. I know it's like way later.
What month is that? October?
That's like what, September, October?
Okay.
It's like half of September, half of October.
Okay.
Just because Cinco de Mayo is not like...
It's not,
It's not really...
it's not what we've turned it into, right?
No, it's funny because even Mexicans will be like, why do they celebrate Cinco de Mayo? Because it's not like really on our radar, you know?
Yeah, it's funny because they don't do it and then we...
But they don't really...
Americanized it.
It's very Americanized. So,
it would probably be helpful, like, if we really got this going, though, to have it, like, monthly or quarterly.
Rather
grab
than
that,
once a year.
To grab that demographic, because it's not like everyone thinks that they want a library card at the same time where they're moving or they're more fluid.
Spanish librarians there, front and center.
Yeah.
And then they could see their faces. And
But I just think letting them know that it's not all about books.
There's other things.
So many other things.
You have audiobooks, you have games, you know, like video games.
They could come here and play video
games.
They
have all these video games here.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be like, oh, I don't have to buy this game anymore.
Exactly.
My kids are bothering me to buy this game.
Right.
Oh, there's a library.
$60
on it.
Yeah. We all say that, right?
Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Are you still doing the Spanish library night? Was it Tabitha's Way?
Yeah, so we still do that the second Tuesday of the month.
Oh.
The Tabitha's Way, we do a bilingual story time.
Okay.
And then on Monday nights, we do a bilingual story time here as well at the library.
Okay,
But it's, how do you get to the people that don't know,
right?
Like,
and that's little kids, right? We kind of want to get the ones with some of the older video gaming.
Yeah, I mean, there's like, I think there's like three or four Spanish wards here in Spanish Fork. And then there's the Latinos in Action. They have a parent night, too.
and they have it in high school and the junior high. And they have, like I said, they have parent nights. So I know that there's a market here down the street. I go there too. We buy chuño there. We buy our dried potatoes from Bolivia. But I'm wondering if they have like a flyer there. Mm. You know, flyers
work really
good.
Yeah.
A lot of them don't sometimes have, like, follow too much social media.
Okay.
But I'm just
especially not like the library they don't belong to.
Yeah.
Follow the social media.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because Libreria is bookstore.
Right.
But Biblioteca is
library.
Is library,
yeah.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm whatever I can help with. If
Kay.
You want to invite me, you want me to come and talk to families, like I am available to help out in any way.
We got to come up with a game plan on how do we, like,
mm-hmm.
and I've only got two Spanish speakers, right? And they're both part-time. I don't have any full-time
okay.
Spanish. And so having you, right, I think
mm-hmm.
would be super helpful.
Nellie's yeah. getting a new full-time job.
You know?
Volunteer.
I'll pick that back up.
You just got millions of dollars. They're not going to let you go anywhere.
I know.
We need to get the parents so we get the kids raising
yeah.
readers and raising people. Otherwise,
yeah.
it's
right.
a cycle that's going to be harder to break into.
Right.
Right.
And I really think connecting with the local school libraries is very helpful, too.
Mm-hmm. I do, too.
Because they know a lot of some of the parents. So, yeah.
Well, and oftentimes, like, when we send flyers home at
mm-hmm.
the schools, they're always in English, right? And
yeah.
so adding that component of...
Mm-hmm.
having some Spanish resources on there, because
even if you just do like a few lines on the Spanish for newsletter mm-hmm. like
yeah
because mm-hmm. you guys have a library
mm-hmm.
section and
right.
I'm just saying if you just took two or three sentences in Spanish, you know, with a QR code that could go to somewhere where there's more information in Spanish like
about what
concert. Come get a free
library card,
right.
video free
games.
Books, free books, free DVDs to borrow, like free.
Right.
The free is the...
Gratis, right?
Gratis. Gratis. Yeah, it's just such a... But if you put free video game checkout, free DVD checkout, like, you know...
All the things.
All
the
things
those.
Are free. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everything we send home... it's probably more is English one side, Spanish the other.
Okay.
So even Springville, when they send their things with some program, it's English one side, Spanish the other.
Okay.
I know it's more printing and stuff, but it's
yeah.
we usually have both at our school. I don't know if they do that for all of Springville because ours is pretty.
Oh, okay. But I'm just saying, one sentence, two sentences,
yeah.
just really quick with the tiny QR
to catch
code,
them.
Right.
Just to you know. Because they're not even going to read a whole
everything,
paragraph.
Right?
It's just like a couple sentences, like free. They when they
free.
See something free, it's like, you know.
So will they catch it though if the whole newsletter is in English,
mm-hmm.
but there's this one little spot that's.
You never know. Like when I'm looking at it, it's like, oh, it's in Spanish.
It sticks
like,
out.
This is
yeah.
for me.
You automatically see.
Yeah,
it.
Like
yeah.
my eye. It catches my eye because
okay.
it's like, oh, this is for you know.
Mm-hmm.
And could
yeah.
we flip it and put like the Spanish. Before the English about the, what you want to say about the library,
yeah.
we put Spanish first and then English.
You could.
Yeah, we could format
it
in a way that sticks
yeah.
out.
Instead of having to look through, the, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is there any web pages on the library that are in Spanish?
I don't think they're written in Spanish. There are capabilities to have it translate,
okay.
I believe.
Because I'm just saying, if there's just even one landing page in Spanish, like how the library...
Like how to get a library card.
Like
what
you
have to check out a free video game.
Yes,
and you
yes.
can come here and go to these programs.
So
it just kind of explains
yeah.
things. Yeah, like
and then
that.
You can just put, para más información, you know,
oh,
and then
look.
You have the QR code.
And it could tell me it can display the catalog in Spanish. Look at that,
mm-hmm.
the whole
website. So, and we're actually in the process of moving
mm-hmm.
our, this is our website.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving all of our library website stuff to the catalog. So the catalog
okay.
will be our website.
Nice.
So rather than going to this page and then going to the catalog, you'll come here and we'll build
right
web pages here.
Recursos.
Where?
Oh, yeah, so you have recursos, calendario, that's all in Spanish.
Yeah,
so
he turned
oh,
the whole website
oh,
into Spanish.
Changed, oh,
so up here you can change
yes,
the language.
Yes, on the page, the landing page.
Yes.
We also have
yeah.
Pirate from
yes.
April Fool's Day.
Yes.
That's cute.
If they care about that, because it was right up in the
yes.
So
can find.
Yeah, there was a QR code in the or on flyers we send home, or in the newsletter, wherever.
Yeah,
that took them somewhere that explained that. That would be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think this is needed.
All city residents get that flyer, right?
Mm-hmm.
They all get the bill. So,
I get it.
I look at it all the time.
And the water
bill,
and the sewage bill. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
No, that's great.
I like it.
Any other ideas? These are great. Keep them coming. If you can put together just a list of what are like the community groups, right,
mm-hmm.
that we could. The wards, and I'm sure there are other denominations in the community that are Spanish-speaking. Like, what are the organizations that we should be going to try and bridge these gaps?
My brother-in-law works with one of the wards.
I'll
ask him which ward. He's over on Maple
Mountain. Okay, because my mom goes to the Spanish ward here.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll ask him which one, because he would be a good contact for
us.
Yeah. Great. Okay, anything else?
Well, that's great, because now you've got your mom, and
I think the library would be a great resource for that.
Oh, yeah.
Great resource.
Of course you want.
Yeah.
I think the library's great for everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Everyone should
it's
be.
It's for
everybody.
It really is.
It
has stuff for everyone.
Yep.
Yeah.
It
really is. So.
Yeah. So to let people know, I just think that's so
cool. And then they're part of the community. Do you
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
We need to embrace them. Bring them.
Yep.
Well, I always tell them, like
a new summer reading.
Especially if they're
own
a home. Like, they pay property taxes.
You're paying for the
library
anyways.
You're paying for this.
Even
like,
if they're renting them, their landlord's putting it into their rent.
Yeah. You might as well use
it.
They're
not paying it.
Yeah. And this is part of being part of the community.
Yeah.
We need to get them.
Just a resource for everyone.
I don't speak Spanish, but I'm willing to help with whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. I can smile and... I need to learn. I need to learn Spanish.
And I'm eager to jump into this analysis of the find free, right? And what
mm-hmm.
what impact are we having on the low income households, right? That
mm-hmm.
if we don't charge those fees for an overdue book.
$500
I know, I did.
That's the downside, though, right, is that tends, like, especially when an item has a hold on it.
Yeah.
Trying to get the patron to bring it back because someone else is waiting for
sorry,
it.
Yeah, sorry, I am guilty.
So,
I am guilty of that as well.
And I don't do it very often, but...
If I'm in the middle of a book and almost done, I will, too.
I'm like, I just, I can't, because this one...
What are you reading?
It's called The Q.
The Q.
By Beth Brower.
Worth it?
I'm into Beth Brower right now.
We're trying to get her to come out.
Yeah.
We'll see. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Emma M. Lyon. Have you guys read any of her? Yeah. You have?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Huh. Cool.
She wrote the book called The Q before her journals. So, yeah. But it's long. It's long. And I need more time to read in my life.
So we all.
No. Anyway.
Okay. Well, any other thoughts, comments, questions on anything?
Great ideas tonight, right?
Yeah. Well, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
My second?
First from Zelia, second from Melanie. All in favor?
Yes.
Opposed? Nope.